the excitement about that link between technology and narrative is that one's own story is something that's ever evolving.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I am so excited you're here. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I started the Easy EdTech Podcast in 2019 to share my favorite tips, tricks, and strategies for technology integration. With over 200 episodes to choose from, including new ones each week, you'll hear stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and updates on my travels to different EdTech events. Each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Don't forget to look for the link to the show notes in the description of this episode. You'll find that link right below the episode summary in every podcast app. This week's episode is sponsored by my Quick Reference Guides. These Quick Reference Guides, or QRGs, give you an overview of big topics and plenty of resource suggestions on a variety of topics. Search for Monica Burns, that's me, on Amazon to find my quick reference guides on AI chatbots, one on classroom technology tips, and another co-written with Pam Allen on digital reading strategies. Or head to classtechtips.com/books for more information. This week's episode is titled Using Tech to Help Students Tell Their Stories with Pam Allen. I have known Pam for more than a decade, and we've worked together in a few different capacities over those years, including creating a quick reference guide for ASCD. Pam has a new book out, co-written with Ernest Morrell, called Tell Your Story, Teaching Students to Become World-Changing Thinkers and Writers. So I thought it would be the perfect time to have her on the podcast to share some tech connections from her new book. Pam had lots of great strategies to share, ones that you can try out tomorrow, tell a colleague about, or take into consideration as you plan events at your school this year. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today, Pam. And before we dive into having students tell their stories and using technology in really innovative and new ways, would love for listeners to hear a little bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Well, it's great to be with you too, Monica. I love your work and I love your blog. I love everything you do. So I'm Pam Allen. I am a creator, founder, maker of things for children and teachers and parents and caregivers. And basically, my biggest passion in the world is literacy. I believe it's the foundational goal of all goals in school and home. And literacy we define as reading, writing, speaking, listening, and viewing in this age of technology. And for me, I've created programs that focus on a lot of the times of the day where I think school districts get a little bit overwhelmed by all the things they have to do. So I make simple ways for them to feel a little bit better about that, whether it's summer, extended day, or that home to school connection, including Lit Camp, Math Camp, and other programs. And my most recent book, co-authored with my colleague, Dr. Ernest Morrell, is called Tell Your Story, published by ASCD. And we're excited to just share this work and keep it growing and flowing and hopefully well into the future, help many more children learn to read and write.
And I know I saw some of your content on display at the ISTE conference because ASCD and ISTE are now together. So I know a lot of listeners might be familiar with ASCD and they may be familiar with ISTE and just seeing all of the books, including yours, in the bookstore this year at the ISTE conference in Philadelphia. It was really fun. And, you know, as we're talking together today, you know, I'm hoping that listeners can really embrace this idea of giving new ways for students to tell their story. So can you explain the importance of reading, writing, and sharing rituals in creating a supportive community? How can these activities be effectively shared through technology?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, that what makes us human is power of story, whether it's our own stories that we bring to the world just by the virtue of who we are and our family, our culture, our language, our perspective from the very youngest age. And I do think that the stories that children and young adults bring to school are often the greatest asset a teacher has to inspire young people to use technology well, to actually be academically motivated and emotionally connected to others. And yet, it's often the last thing we think of when we're in the classroom. We've got curriculum going on. We've got lots of things on our minds. We've got a lot to do. We've got 25 students or more that we have to take care of every day. So for me, I think the excitement about that link between technology and narrative is that one's own story is something that's ever evolving. So a child, a teenager, they understand that, yes, I am my love for my grandmother. That tortilla I eat on Sunday evenings with my entire family. I am the person who just loves to kind of curl up and have a good laugh with my sister. Those are all stories. Those are actual stories. The story, you know, we think of stories as having to have a beginning, middle, and end, but a lot of stories are really just in draft form. You're trying to figure yourself out. You know, you don't have to always have a beginning, middle, and end yet. And I think for this moment in time, you know, we talk a lot about, and I love the relationship between ASCD and ISTE, as you mentioned, because I think that's an unbelievable partnership to show the world that technology and storytelling actually go hand in hand. But I do think we are in a moment right now with our, in terms of schools and districts, where we can dig deeper into what we can do with children's stories to help that really fuel their lifelong connection to learning and to school, and to use technology in ways that do feel meaningful. I mean, I'm personally a huge fan of social media when done well and used in the right ways, mm-hmm. because I think it does give a lot of people a chance to tell their stories where they wouldn't have had that opportunity before.
And I love just that beginning, middle, and end component, right? We often think of that with the storytelling, but the social media piece, right? We are giving those updates, right? The small moments. Those pieces that are more of, you know, the everyday, as opposed to feeling like there needs to be, you know, that complete arc all the time, right? Or in all the moments. And, you know, how are you leveraging technology to create a community of belonging for students? That's such an important part of the storytelling component, of course. You know, are there any examples of how students can share their thoughts and works in this visible way for their community?
Well, you know, I mean, you're the most amazing knowledge bearer of the different kinds of apps and modalities of technology. But I'm going to focus today on the strategies that we can use through the lens of those technologies. And for me, there are three buckets, I would say, that we can fill when we think about how we can manifest story through technology. And the first one is creation. As simply said, creation. Not everybody is the kind of person who can just sit down and put a million words on the page, or even 10 words on the page or screen, and have that feel simple. So the fact that we have technology that allows us to do everything from strike up your own band and actually make a song right then and there, mm-hmm. on your technology, or that you can actually draw a picture or create a 3D image or make a cartoon. And all of these are technologies that you've actually shared in prior podcasts that I've listened to. But for me, it's a lot about thinking, if as a teacher, as an educator, in that first bucket of creation, what options are we giving our students beyond the deck, beyond creating a deck, really beyond that, but really bringing to life the stories that our students tell, the stories they share from the very youngest ages. Like I said, whether it's about animating a story, making a book out of a story, or actually really just creating on the go, using music and using multimedia to actually help you do that. When I was a young child, and also when I raised my own children, my nieces and nephews spent a lot of time with me as they were growing up too, we made a lot of shows. You know, we would write our own scripts and then make our own shows. And the beauty of the technology now is a simple iPhone camera can actually be that. You can be a director right from the very beginning. And that's creation. That's literacy, to invite students to tell their stories by holding up the camera and asking and inviting each other to tell their stories. Also, even for our very young children, I always pay tribute to the great, great teacher, Vivian Paley, who was really a pioneer in children's storytelling many decades ago. Still worth reading her books to this minute. And her big thing was about dictation and then performance. And for very young children, who weren't writing full sentences yet, she would invite them to tell their stories. She'd record them by hand, and then she'd read them back to the children and have them act them out. Well, we're lucky nowadays. We have, right? And Monica, I mean, you probably have a million thoughts on that too, because just there are so many much easier ways now. We can take dictation from our students. Mm-hmm. We can retell or replay those dictations back to them, and then have them perform and act out those presentations of their own stories using a simple camera, using the simple technology of video on the screen, whatever that technology is, and having them watch and rewatch the stories of their own lives. So that's the creation bucket. I know you have, when you think about that, is there one technology that kind of you would say, okay, that's one that I would connect with that?
Well, just the camera in so many people's pockets, right? And in so many student devices now, you know, one of the things I love about the way you think about this work is how rooted it is in the things that we've always loved. And now we're just adding this extra layer of technology that brings the access up, that scales this for so many children. And so when it comes to that creation piece, right, it may not be, right, someone writing down every word that comes out of every 30 children's, you know, mouth in their classroom, right? But now they can scale that experience, have a student use a voice to text a piece of technology, have them jump on camera and record a 30-second video that tells a story from their day. And just that access and scalability component for all of the things that we love so much as educators in the literacy space, you know, I think is really exciting for me.
Same here. And, you know, as our students get older and they're using technology like that 10-second tell the day in your life or the 10 mm-hmm. seconds of life, and then it all comes together as a montage. Those are the kinds of things that actually we can use to great effect in talking to our students about the power of story, that each day, even a snippet, when you invite students to go home and snap an image of just what's one image from today that resonates, and they come back with just an image. I was with a fifth grader recently, and the image that she snapped was her mom holding her little baby sister's hands, just the two hands. And you think about how profound that story that child can write off that image. It's an unbelievably powerful image. And I think you're right. Like some of that classical, like we've always had our, you know, for how many years have we had our phones in our pockets, but using the camera as a tool for storytelling. And not only just that's the story, but using imagery, the image like the child, the baby's hand and the mother's hand, and having that fifth grader tell that story from her point of view, that is so powerful and so deep. And it's, and to back to that 10-second montage, as adults, you know, I mean, of course, I love when I see my friends do that because it gives me a flavor of what they've been up to, and I can't keep in mm-hmm. touch with everyone. I can't see them in person all the time. So I just like love that. But for kids, life goes by and rushes by very quickly, and they don't actually know everything there is to know about each other. So 10-second snippets of storytelling using visual imagery, using the phone, using the camera is part of what we said right from the very beginning, this idea of creating a sense of belonging in a community is really about being known to each other. And I would say the second in the containers of those three containers of the intersection of technology and story is drafting and revising. And I mean, I said it earlier, but we're always revising our story. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lucky thing is if you make a mistake today, tomorrow you can repair that. You can be in a state of repair all the time. And also you can reinvent yourself. You know, yesterday I wasn't the kind of person who thought I could sing well, but actually over these last 18 months of, we now have a new grandson and just singing and singing and singing. My husband says, mm-hmm. you know, you really actually have a beautiful voice. You know, it's like I tell the story of who I am. But the drafting and revision piece is actually very interesting to me because we've made it very onerous for children. You know, we spend too long drafting, revising, like you can stop, like write fast stories, tell fast stories. You could do that much faster. You don't need to be dwelling so hard. And that's another thing I do love about technology. You could do things fast and children mm-hmm. like to move fast. But drafting and revision should feel fun. And I think the thing about technology offers us so much opportunity to do that. I mean, what, you know, of course, I do love an old fashioned Google Doc for pretty much everything. And mm-hmm. I invite my students to think about a better, bigger, deeper uses of Google Docs and also joint revision, joint drafting, where you can invite other people. I mean, you and I have done that. Like I'll say, mm-hmm. Monica, I have something I'm writing or thinking about technology. Can you hop in that draft with me? But we can do that with personal storytelling too. Have writing partners in your classrooms who are your Google Doc writing partners, where you can actually invite, like if you and I were writing partners for a week, I would say, Monica, come in with me. I'm just beginning to tell this story about, you know, my trip last summer, or I'm just beginning to really start to write an info piece on storytelling. I would invite you to drop in. And I think that that's another belonging community effort that we can make a lot easier by creating not permanent writing partnerships, but this week's writing partnership or this month's writing partnership. We're studying informational text right now. We're studying fantasy writing right now. We're studying the author, you know, some great author like Peter Reynolds. We're studying him and we're going to actually write like him this week. And I'm matching my students up as writing partners, inviting them in to actually draft and revise together. And I'm pretty simple when it comes to the technology on the sense that there's a lot of tools that teachers, perhaps listening to this podcast, are already using where you can say, could I actually do more personal storytelling within those apps and within those technologies where I'm inviting students to join together as a small team or a cohort in a writing club or a writing partnership? And that's really container number two. I know you do that so well when you talk about, you know, using the technology to actually help children academically perform better. And I know this is something you and I have talked about.
Yeah. And, you know, it is something that I think can really give students more options for sharing their stories. And that could be in a cross-curricular environment, right? It could be in so many different parts of their day. You know, and this idea of oral and visual storytelling, right, playing such an important role. I know it's something that you speak to and you write about. And of course, I want to ask you more about the new book too and all those pieces, right? But, you know, how does this connect to a topic that I know is so important to you? You know, this idea that all voices matter and that we not only want to build that community and have students feel that sense of belonging, but perhaps that they feel empowered to share their stories too.
Well, and that actually perfect segue into the container number three, which is celebration. I really think that what often happens in classrooms, and we've learned this a lot just by doing a lot of summer school work, where one of the biggest feedbacks I've gotten from students over the years as I build these programs is I come into the classroom and I don't know anybody and it's summer school and then I'm going to have to leave and I didn't even get to make a friend. You know, I didn't know anybody. But I think it's even deeper than that. I think what everyone is sort of longing for is that, yes, a sense of feeling known to others, but also a sense of the belonging that comes with, wait a minute, I'm not just like everyone else here. We're all pretty different and unique and in our own way. I would like to know more about everyone else here. And so some of the things, and in our book, Ernest and Morell and I do talk a lot about this, is that there are some really quintessential ways that we can actually get our young people writing and talking about their own lives and their own differences just by the virtue of, number one, and this is as simple as I can say it, but it's very powerful, is writing in your own language is really what I think is one of the greatest, perhaps one of the most amazing shifts in public and private, any kind of education over the last 5 years, is the use of AI to actually have people understand each other in multiple languages. It's just not a barrier anymore. So I can invite my newcomers in classes, coming to class for the very first time, may never have heard English, read English, written English before. Still, from the very first moment they walk in, the AI is helping us to translate more rapidly, get in a doc, tell your story there, orally translate, let everyone hear where you came from and how you arrived here. It's absolutely amazing. And so I know another conversation for another time, artificial intelligence and all of that. But for me, as a literacy educator and this idea of belonging, it is so powerful. You have really intelligent young people walking into classrooms who have never been in this country before. There's rising rates of newcomers, all of our public school districts. Rather than wait until they learn English before we get to know them, let's use the technology to actually invite them into the conversation the fascinating lives that they have, the stories that they can tell, that now our students of all languages in multiple languages can experience from each other. To me, that's the power of technology. And vice versa, might I add, that the student is coming in as a newcomer wanting to know, what is everyone talking about in English? I want to learn this language too, can actually use the powers of translation to say, I'm right in this conversation right now. Like, I can use my Google Translate, I can use whatever other technology and apps I have at my disposal to make sure that right from the very minute I get here, I have that capacity to be part of this writing community. And then the other thing too is to not only accept, but actually really value the fact that, and we do talk a lot about this in the book, is visual storytelling, as you can see from Instagram and TikTok and all the ways people are communicating, is a valuable and valid way of making literacy come to life in your classroom. So just because a student is in sixth grade, eighth grade, 10th grade, we can actually, you know, invite them to tell a visual story, sit down and actually draft that or use technology to create photographic images or 3D images for that matter to tell your life story. Tell your life story in 10 minutes or less using three images is a great prompt. It's really easy to do. Your students can share that with each other at any age. We have prompts that we share in the book. Some of our favorite ones are really just to write, read, tell, or visualize off of prompts like, I wonder, I'm surprised by, what feels still mysterious to me is, I'm imagining a world in which I, and then using multimedia to actually respond to those things gives us a way to become known to each other. And I think that's really the most resonant part of storytelling is that, as you said earlier, no voices are excluded. Language is not a barrier. And all of us are really interested in each other. And I think the more multimedia that feels, the more excited everyone gets, because not only is it me telling my story to you, but as receivers in the classroom, we are all at different reading levels. We are all at different writing levels. We want to get everyone as accomplished as possible. And practicing the muscle of storytelling through multimedia, through celebration. And by the way, when I say celebration, I mean, if a child writes one sentence or shows one image, or we have a celebration that doesn't have to be in person, it can be something we're doing together virtually, online, in a group together, raising our voices together, putting together our stories. So I say to everyone, you go home tonight, we're going to have a shared doc. I want everyone to add a line to it and make a complete story. That's a form of celebration. So celebration doesn't have to wait till the end of the year. You could have a writing celebration every week.
I think that's such a good reminder for listeners too, because I always like to think about, you know, what's that one thing someone could do tomorrow after listening to a conversation like this one? And it might be, right, opening up that Google Doc and having everyone add a new line, or having students bring in that one picture from their week or from their day, or really rethinking a celebration so that it's not just a date on the calendar, but it really is an inviting moment, you know, for all members of a school community. So Pam, this is so fantastic in terms of giving listeners actionable ideas. And I want to make sure that they know where to connect with you, where to learn more about your work and your book. Of course, I will link out to lots of things, but for someone who's maybe on the go and listening in and making a mental bookmark, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Yeah, thanks so much. So first, easy, Pam Allen, ALLYN.com. That's me. All my work is there. Also, ASCD has published our book. Dr. Ernest Morell, professor of literacy at Notre Dame, and I, longtime partners. We've created a lot of writing programs and reading programs together. And we are easily found at ASCD on their online. You can buy the book there or on Amazon or your independent bookstore online. And then also, well, I have a new initiative called Dewey, and we are really forging huge connections in the power of story from home to school and back again. So DeweyCommunity.com is where you can find out everything about Dewey. Ernest and I are over there too, but we're really trying to bring the power of story, not just to teachers, but also for parents and caregivers, so that teachers feel more supported by what's going on in home, and home feels more supported by what's going on at school. And story is the link that connects us.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Pam.
Thanks, Monica. Thanks for having me.
It was so much fun chatting with Pam today. As you can hear in our conversation, we've known each other for quite some time, and it's always a pleasure to gather ideas and inspiration from our conversations. So let's finish up this episode like we always do with a few key points to help make this EdTech easy. Provide opportunities for students to tell their story. Use simple tech tools like a camera to capture those stories. Look at ways to celebrate even the small moments. Use translation tools to make sure everyone feels welcome at your next celebration. Remember, you can find the show notes and full list of resources from today's episode, including all of the ways to connect with Pam Allen and learn about her work, at classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode, number 235. Fun fact about me, 235 was my classroom number when I taught fifth grade, not for all of the years, but for more than half of them. So this is an extra special episode milestone for me. This week's episode is sponsored by my Quick Reference Guides. These Quick Reference Guides, or QRGs, give you an overview of big topics and plenty of resource suggestions on a variety of topics. Search for Monica Burns, that's me, on Amazon to find my Quick Reference Guides on AI chatbots, one on classroom technology tips, and another co-written with Pam Allen on digital reading strategies. Or head to classtechtips.com/books for more information. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. Stay tuned this fall for a few bonus episodes. Instead of Sundays like we've done this past year, they're going to shift to Fridays. Not every Friday, but every once in a while. So make sure you're listening on a podcast app where you can hit the follow button. That way, every new episode, not just Tuesdays, but the bonus ones too, will pop up for you as soon as they go live. And if you want to share an idea from today's episode, maybe with a friend or a colleague, you can send the link to them as a text or even tweet or post it on your favorite social media platform. You can find me there too. Just tag me at Class Tech Tips with any takeaways or questions.